God has touched the world in a tangible way. What the scriptures say is that Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means, what does it mean? It means God with us, present. It means that Jesus' birth is not like any other birth. And it's him we remember in this season. Life is rarely simple. And so living is always complex, and you know it. And it's for that reason that many of us enjoy new beginnings. We enjoy fresh starts. We yearn for a new day or a new year. For some of us, we yearn for a new career. We like new starts because we think that something good might come of them in a complex world. Please open up to page 12 of your orders of service. Page 12 of your order of service. And look at verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, verse 28 at the bottom of page 12. The scriptures record this, that Simeon took him in his arms, that is, Simeon took the baby Jesus into his arms, and when he did that, he was holding God's new beginning. He was holding God's fresh start for the universe. And Simeon responds in effect by saying, verse 29, I am therefore satisfied about my own impending death. I'm actually okay about dying, because I've seen this baby. And why? Well, he says, because my eyes have seen the one thing worth living for, or rather the one person worth living for. Now, my question for you, my question for me is this: what would you have to do in life, and what would you have to see so that you could safely say that your life was fulfilled and that you are now okay about dying? There's a movie out a couple of years ago called The Bucket List. Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, two aging characters. And what they do while lying in a hospital is they create a list of things that they'd like to do before they kick the bucket. What they say, before they die. So things like skydiving and getting a tattoo, etc. What would you like to do before you die so that you can say that my life is fulfilled? Well, look at verse 36. Aging Anna, she sees God's fresh start, his new beginning, when she's sees Jesus held by Simeon. That's in verse 38. And she responds in effect by praising God and in effect by talking about this child, Jesus, nonstop. She talks about Jesus nonstop, 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 we are told. She talked about this child, Jesus, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, my question then for you, for me, what would you have to do or see before you saw something that was worth repeating over and over and over again until people said to you, please stop repeating what you keep talking about? What would you have to do or say before you talk so much like Anna? Well, here are two cases, Simeon on one hand and Anna on the other. In these two cases, they simply saw a person. They saw a baby, actually, which is astounding. They saw Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, all their hopes were fulfilled and all their hopes were lifted up. But, and here's the key. Their hopes are lifted up, but not in a way that denies the complexity of life. the complexity that you know about, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. I want to break apart this text in two further questions, and the two questions are these. Here are the two questions. Firstly, why was Simeon at peace about dying? And secondly, why wouldn't Anna stop talking? Why was Simeon at peace? Why wouldn't Anna stop talking? Okay, the first question. Why was Simeon at peace about dying? And the answer is it has to do with the story of Israel. And this passage, and indeed all the Gospels, invite us into that story by inviting us to consider Jesus. Take a look at the bookends of the story of Simeon and the story of Anna. Look at verses 22 through 24. 22 through 24 on page 12. Verse 22, Mary and Joseph had come for their purification, according to Leviticus chapter 12. That's in the law of Moses. They were there to dedicate their firstborn. That's in verse 23. That's in accord with Exodus chapter 13. And to offer a sacrifice. That's in accord with Leviticus verse 12. That's the beginning of our text, this side of the bookend. Now go to the end of this text, verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because this is a very Jewish story. This is a very Jewish story. Now, what is that Jewish story that we have been invited into? Well, I believe it can be personified, actually, in the person of Simeon. If you'd like to know what the story of Israel is, look at the story of Simeon. Verse 25, Simeon was a Jerusalemite. He was righteous and devout, worshiping and following the one true God and looking forward to. He was waiting, yearning, straining forward. We are told for the consolation of Israel, verse 25. He's waiting for what? He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what's that? When I hear consolation, I hear a consolation prize. Something you get that you don't want. But of course, that's not even what the word consolation means. What does the word mean? It means comfort. He's waiting for the comfort of Israel. And what is the comfort of Israel? Well, the comfort of Israel is a shorthand way of saying, of talking about that moment that all faithful Israelites expected and yearned for, that moment when God comes, when God turns up, when the Lord fulfills all the grand promises made in the Bible through Isaiah and through the prophets to comfort the world, to comfort sad Israel, to comfort poor Israel with God's coming kingdom of righteousness and justice and joy. You see, people like Simeon, he dined on prophecies like Isaiah 40. What does Isaiah 40 say? Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God, and speak tenderly to Jerusalem. People like Simeon and Anna, they drank on verses like Isaiah 52, when we're urged, or Israel is urged, to burst into songs of joy, you ruins of Jerusalem. Why? For the Lord has comforted his people, and Israel, Simeon is straining forward, yearning for that comfort. Simeon feasted on prophecies like Isaiah 61, speaking about the coming Messiah, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to comfort all who mourn. You see, Simeon, like you, Simeon suffers in a dark world, and he knows that God has promised a better future. And so he's yearning for that time. Now, what's interesting about Simeon is that he just turns up at the right place at the right time to meet baby Jesus. There's no emails floating around. There's no Facebook status update. There's no Twittering. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Simeon turns up to the temple of all days, the right day, to meet who? To meet Jesus, a baby, not 8 days old. I love what Presbyterian author and writer Frederick Buechner says in reflection on John the Baptist's life. He says this: when the moment came, one look through Simeon's cataract lenses was all it took. He asked if it would be all right to hold the baby in his arms, and they told him to go ahead, but be careful not to drop him. Like all parents, Simeon doesn't drop him, that is. Instead, Simeon holds this baby tightly in his arms and is moved to poetry, to a song, perhaps the original carol, to what people have called for centuries the Nunc Dimittis. These words have inspired hundreds of composers to write beautiful music. He holds that baby in his arms tightly that day, and he says, verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, just as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, this salvation which is a light for a revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Now, I just want you to notice a few things about Simeon's song. Notice he's free to die. He's free to die. Not because his personal dreams are fulfilled, like, you know, I saw the Socceroos, you know, win the World Cup. No, it's nothing like that. It's like, I can die in peace now because I've seen my dreams fulfilled. No, that's not true at all. Notice, by the way, we're not told how old Simeon is. There's a potential he's a young man. We don't know. We tend to think of him as an old man because he thinks he's okay about dying, because he's lived his life and fulfilled his dreams, and now he can see a baby Jesus, and so he can, he's happy about dying. But we have no idea how old he was. There are clues in the text that maybe he's older, but there's a potential. There's a potential that he's a man in his 20s who's actually happy to die because he's seen the salvation of the planet. Notice another thing. Notice he says that my eyes have now seen, God, your salvation. And he's looking at a baby. See, the salvation of the world is a person. Jesus is the salvation of the world. And I love in the Song of Simeon that the hope isn't just confined to Simeon. And it's not just confined to Israel. But he's a light, and Paul just sang about that a moment ago, a light to the entire universe. And so you can see why in verse 33 that the parents, Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said about their kid, about their child. See, most people, I mean, I've got 3 children. And people come to the hospital and they see the child, and what do they say? They say, "Cute kid. Hey, beautiful baby." But look what they're saying about this child, the hope of the world. I said this morning in our services this morning that when Mary was pregnant with the baby, we can safely say that lying beneath the skin of this teenage girl lies the hope of the planet. And so Simeon was fulfilled. This is the most significant birth to have ever taken place, and Simeon was one of the first to spot it, and his heart pounded with joy. How does your heart pound? So secondly, and very briefly, why wouldn't Anna stop talking? We're actually told that Anna is aging. We have some idea of her age. She's an older woman. And I love how she just runs into this family, Joseph and Mary and the child and Simeon. It's like an orchestral movement, how she turns up at the right time. It's a crescendo of hopes that they all meet together around Jesus in these verses. In verse 36, we find out that she's a Jew, a kosher Jew. She's old. We're told, and I love if we get this little snap into her life, that she lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow after 7 years. Now, that's suffering. Until, of course, she was 84. We're not told why she was a widow until she was 84. Maybe she died at age 84, or maybe she got remarried. I like to think the latter. We don't know. But she, verse 37, never left the temple. You see, while Simeon waits, Anna worships. Both legitimate activities for a Jewish person waiting for the hope of the world. And what she does when she finds Jesus and holds that tender baby into her hands is she talks and she talks and she talks and she talks to anyone who's waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem and the world. Have you ever seen a brag book? Do you own a brag book? A brag book is what a grandmother or a grandfather carries around with them when they have a new grandchild. They put the pictures of the baby into a little booklet, and wherever they go, they talk and talk and talk and show pictures of their grandchildren. Well, Anna has a brag book, her own mouth. She has baby Jesus in her words, and she's showing everyone who dares hope that this child is the bringer of that hope. Do you talk constantly? I do. What do you talk about? Anna talked about Jesus. Well, let me conclude. I've just got one conclusion, actually, just one conclusion. See, so far, the story's about hope and peace and everybody happy, but you know that life is complex and therefore living is never easy. But we've actually neglected verses 34 and 35. Have a look at them. We've neglected verses 34 and 35. You see, the comfort that comes to the world only comes through conflict. Peace only comes through pain. You see, resurrection only comes after a death in this broken and divided world, and it has to, precisely because the world is broken and divided. See, this redemption of the world, it will bring an end to your suffering, to suffering. It will bring an end to injustice, to pain, and to sin, and that end will be comprehensive, the end to suffering, but it only comes. Here we go. You may be excluded. It only comes to those waiting patiently for the Lord. Only they will be the recipients of such blessing. You see, we tend to think, we Aussies, we Australians, we tend to think that things will just get better. We just hope that things will get better. So unlike Anna, we go for moderate faith and moderate religion, and we believe in a moderate Jesus. But this is not how peace comes. Not in a broken and divided world. Look at verse 34. Let me read it to you. Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, and I wonder if he whispered it to her. He said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising, the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." You see that? "Over this man, some will rise and some will fall." Some will be kingdom bound and some hell bound. It's a divisive observation, but it's not mine. He will be opposed. See, the road to peace will not be smooth. And you thought, hey, I just thought he was here to bring me peace. That's why I'm here this evening. I thought it was Christmas cards to all. And the truth is, of course, he does bring peace, but only through a conflict. And as you read further in the Gospels, you realize that the great conflict is Jesus, that baby that day, nailed to a cross. And on that cross, peace was delivered first to the human heart, second to communities, and finally to the world. And you might say, how's that? Why through a death should that peace come? Well, it's the nature of our world, the nature of our sinful world. I'll give you an illustration. How did the Allies in World War II, how did the Allies bring peace to Europe? The answer is, of course, they picked a fight. They spilled their own blood. They had to fight a fight. It was the nature of that conflict. So you can't just hand a Christmas card to the enemy. Or take another example, the surgeon. The surgeon always has to cut out a cancer. See, a surgeon, a doctor, when he says that you have a cancer, he doesn't just write you a Christmas card saying peace and goodwill to you. No, what does the surgeon do? He has to spill blood. He has to cut you open. It's the nature of cancer. See, the scalpel has to exist in a world of cancer. The cross of Jesus Christ has to exist in a world of sin. And that is why Jesus says that the Son of Man has to die. In the movie The Bucket List, they wrote a list of things that they had to do before they passed. Well, what's on your bucket list? What would you like to do? Raise a family for those who are young? See your family grow strong for those who have children and grandchildren? What would you like to do to get the job of your dreams? Just to be happy? Would you like to travel? Perhaps through Africa or see Finland? Perhaps you'd like to become great at one thing or make your mark on the world? Well, these are all good things, but they are mere shadows of the redemption that will come in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the movie The Bucket List, the final thing on the list was to witness something truly majestic. Well, that is, of course, what Simeon saw in his own hands that day. He saw someone truly majestic. What do you want to do before you die? I suggest this Christmas, you take the opportunity to say that in this man, Jesus Christ, God has touched the world in a tangible way, and at the same time, he went through the ultimate conflict so that I can have peace. He went to the cross that I can have life. And that, of course, in the end, is the true meaning of Christmas. G.K. Chesterton once said, "Let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair." I wonder if that's a possible word for us this evening. Let's pray. Father, as we read this last reading from Revelation chapter 22, we recall the whole story of the world, that you created the world and yet you will redeem the world, that you made promises to Israel and fulfilled them in the man Jesus Christ. Father, give us hope. Give us a passion for Jesus. Give us all we need in Christ's name. Amen.